Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Fandom Access Feature Review. I, as always, am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, another short show. The ladies will speak about Killing Eve, maybe a couple other things, and then we'll do Westworld, which, holy crap, is fun. And I'm sure Karen and I will say it about 3 or 4 times, but 8 episodes ain't enough. I want my 10 back. So. I know while I'm waiting for them. Setting up the momentum last week, but they both got here on time. Hawaii 5-0 ended 2 weeks ago, I want to say, or at least I watched it 2 weeks ago. I was a little disappointed. I felt that Scott Kahn, who plays Danny Williams, was cheated a little. He spent half the episode in a hospital bed. I think a show that has 2 stars should feature both of them in the series finale. I felt for a series finale, it was very anticlimactic. I was hoping for more. It wasn't quite as thrilling as I was hoping it would be. But, you know, like I said, it wasn't terrible. Endings are hard. Alyssa asked me after it was over, she's like, how was it? And I was like, exactly what I said. I said, endings are hard. And we've been saying this for years. So, anticlimactic, a little ho-hum. But not bad for 10 years. So there's that. What else going on? I don't know what's going on. Not much. So let's. You're going around and around. Oh, there we go. I have a co-host. Yay.
Good evening. How are you,
good
AJ?
Evening.
I'm sorry. It looks like my watch is a few minutes slow.
Oh.
I thought it wasn't yet 10 o'clock and my phone was beeping at me. So here I am a couple minutes late.
That's all right.
Hi.
And I'm letting Jamie in now, too. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. How are
Hi.
You?
Good, other than I missed time things and didn't finish Westworld. I feel really dumb because I did that. But anyway, I was close to done.
I just got here myself. So here we are on lockdown with not a lot of shows on TV, and I guess another fast, quick podcast tonight, relatively speaking, right?
Yep.
We'll have a couple
yep.
shows
yes.
to talk about.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to just start with Westworld?
Sure. Let's just start with Westworld. You, Jamie, you were able to finish this
yeah.
episode?
No, I had about 20 minutes left. But I want to talk first about last week a second. I had told you
okay.
When I was trying to finish it last week that
right.
like I thought the beginning of the episode was kind of dumb. I do think the whole thing with that drug was dumb and ruined the whole first half of the episode. I'm sorry, like I get it, and on paper it works, but it just didn't work for me in the episode at all. But once I finally got onto the episode, I very much enjoyed it, and I like how it's kind of twisting everything because now Dolores is kind of, I don't want to say necessarily she's right, but she's more right than Serac. Like, I don't think she should be telling people their future or at least giving them a choice, but making them free, I definitely agree with. But the one thing I'm kind of not understanding, and I don't know if it's just because I'm misremembering, but when they say they controlled them, that just means control to the point that, like, the ones that were, like, outliers they sent off to die or put in the prisons, right? Or do they actually somehow, other than that, control them? That was just kind of like they invested in their future or whatever, as she put it before. Am I understanding that correctly?
Serac is
controlling people.
Yes, he's controlling the whole future. He's not just predicting. I mean, his machine basically like predicts what your future is going to be like, and then they make it happen. Like, did you see when people's cell phones blew up with their story, and it said like marriage not rec- per- it said like likely outcome suicide in 5 years, marriage not recommended, children not recommended. That's why Caleb can't get a job, because they're like making sure that he can't get a job, because they've set him on, basically they're all set on loops that Surratt controls. They're loops.
Right. But everyone still technically has free will, and the ones that do what they want, yes, are the ones that end up the outliers. Okay. That's what I wanted to understand. So technically they're making things happen, but they're not,
yes,
physically controlling them. Like, they're not making somebody have an affair or whatever. That was what I was just
No, but they're like sort of like
set everything up to make it happen.
There's, yeah. Yeah, they're setting it up to make it happen, right? Like,
okay,
they know
sure
that you're...
You agreed, because that's what I thought, too. Like, I just wanted to make sure you guys felt the same.
Like, they knew that if you have multiple affairs with your patients, you are likely to lose your medical license, right?
Right, right.
And so
yeah,
they don't recommend her for whatever. But basically, the whole system's rigged against you.
Right.
Because of, like, you know, they've basically told a story about your life. But, yeah, I mean, they do have free will, but they can't, like, I guess the system...
A lot of things are going to happen because it's set that way.
Yeah,
you're
the system has so much data that it knows that you're not likely to really just go crazy and kill people, right?
Right, right.
I mean, it's kind
and
of...
And those people that were outliers, you put in that, those glasses.
It's kind of not the greatest plot line, because it's a little too... out there, right? It's like
a little
it
bit
strains my ability to accept it. Yeah.
Yeah. But other parts of it, other than it's a little too extreme control, I really like. And I guess my point is I feel like right now Dolores is the quote unquote good guy. You know? And like, it's through the whole beginning of the show she's been like the evil side. I mean at least that's how I kind of have taken it. And so now you find out Maeve is on the wrong side, you know, and I think that's very interesting. I thought Bernard was starting to see what Dolores said, but then it seemed like at the end maybe he didn't, because he went off with the his bouncer guy. I can't think of who he is, but you know who I mean.
Stubbs.
The Hemsworth brother.
Stubbs.
The Hemsworth brother.
Stubbs.
Okay.
Stubbs. His name is
Stubbs.
Stubbs. On the show.
Yeah.
Stubbs.
Yeah. But my thing that I thought was interesting is, with Ciroc, he tells that guy, and I forget everybody's name, but the one that originally bought into the thing that he killed at the plane, made a fake plane crash, the guy even tells him that he saw the future too, and he let him go. So basically Ciroc went against the system to kill him because he wanted to. So I feel like he's, you know, not necessarily following
I don't understand what you just...
It was my understanding that guy,
yes,
I can't think of his name, but the one that he killed at the plane crash, he said something to him, do you think I didn't look at the future too? He said, I looked and you let me go. It was predicted he would let him go. So in my opinion, by him killing him and faking his death, he kind of went against the system a little bit because it benefited him. At least that was kind of my interpretation. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We can move on to the second episode.
I might have to rewatch
that scene. I just kind of was
curious
if you guys felt the same about the other stuff, that was all. So on to the new episode, I got to the part where, like, I'm trying to think exactly what happened, but it was pretty much right after Maeve brought the real Hector back into her, where she's at.
Into
so
the
she
simulation.
Still has some computing computing powers, yeah. The thing that I think is kind of the hardest or the most confusing, I guess I should say, is the fact that I don't know what's wrong with me with names. I'm blanking again. The other the one that ran a lot or that was going against Ellis. I can't think of her name. But
Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean the body. Yeah, Charlotte. Charlotte. Okay. I don't know why I can't remember names. But anyway. Charlotte, it's like so confusing and probably really confusing for her, and she's starting to like her family too, because she's with Dolores, but she's also with Ciroc because she was the spy, but she has to obviously fake that because she's not really with Ciroc. But it's just, I keep forgetting, like, oh yeah, that's right, she's on both sides, or he thinks she's on both sides, and that's just kind of like really strange. But And then my only other main points that I have a comment on, this is, I think, just more interpretation, is the man in black really a host, or is that all in his mind because he's in the mental hospital? That's my other big question about the episode. So now you guys go. What do you guys think?
So without getting into plot points, I thought, well, this episode was a lot slower than last week, right? And I didn't necessarily, there were parts that I didn't love. So the whole hallucination that William's having in the nursing home and in the mental hospital, and Jamie, I don't know how far, like, how much of this you saw, but
I saw him talking to his other versions of himself that were younger and older.
Okay.
I had gotten
so
that
whole, the whole part where William is having this, like, deep dive into his own psyche and hallucination, I thought was sort of, like, slow and unnecessary and not that interesting. So I think James, Ed Harris's work was incredible. It's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
Every part of the show is beautifully shot, and that was seamlessly done. And Ed Harris's work in this episode is very good, but I thought it was an unnecessary side tour. Like, I don't really – like, we have spent two previous seasons of him refusing to do any self-reflection while Dolores is on a journey of discovery, and now we have, like, 20 minutes of his, like, more Man in Black backstory. And I mean, his work was good. I just think with only two episodes to go, I didn't need to have a third of the episode be devoted to that.
That's all that's left. Dang, it feels like we're not even halfway
through. And it doesn't change my opinion of him. And I don't think it was necessary to drive the story forward. I feel like that could have been a really interesting thing to me if they had given us maybe 10 episodes this season and we had time for that. So I found that a little slow.
How many episodes are there?
There are only 8. There's only 2 left.
Oh, that's right. Okay. See, that's I don't know. It shouldn't be that short. But that's the thing, though. I felt like the whole up to, like, last week was, like, the beginning of the season, and then just all of a sudden it feels like it's moved towards the end, like there was no middle. Do you feel like that? Because it, like, just finally pushed the plot forward all of a sudden into this, us finding out about all the Dolores's and her. Well, maybe that was the episode before, but still, it feels like it, like, just went from the beginning to the end, and, like, there's no, I don't know, in between.
You know why it feels feels that way? Because it's such a short season, there's no filler.
Well, I feel like it needs
filler.
Filler.
I don't want
it seems
to
too quick.
On the contrary, there's really almost too much being jammed into each episode, like last week, for example.
Yes. No, I agree.
Maybe
had
too
much.
Need, like,
you know,
stretch it or something a little more.
You know, Jamie's objection to the genre drug scenes, hallucinations. I also was frustrated with that. But it could have been interesting if we had a 10 or 12 episode season and we had time to devote to a little side fun thing that doesn't have any point really, right?
Yeah, or make the episodes 90 minutes. That's what I mean. It's not so much that there was – that they necessarily needed more episodes, but it's the way they crammed them in. Like, they could have taken – I don't know. Like, it seems like it should have been spaced a little bit.
We're saying the same
thing.
Whether it's more episodes or a longer episode, we're saying if we have more than 8 hours,
yeah,
this would be less – frustrating. I mean, AJ, how did you? So, there's some other stuff that I liked and didn't like about this episode. But what did you? How did you react, AJ, to it? How did you feel about it?
I'm in the same line that you guys are. Like, everything's happening so fast. You're right. There's a lot being jammed in. I mean, I enjoyed the episode. I haven't said anything about any of the episodes. So that I really disliked. I actually enjoyed the William stuff. I thought it was really funny at the end when he's beating the crap out of himself.
Okay, I didn't get that. I'm trying not to go too far.
You know, there's a lot. You know, a lot of characters on this show, and you know, there's no good guys and there's no bad guys, and I kind of like it because everybody, except for Serac, maybe Serac's maybe the actual bad guy, but everybody else is very flawed. There's lots of their intentions are right. It's just their methods are to be desired. I think I almost feel like I didn't get, you know, at this point, in the journey, the story, you know, backstory for William, not only is it a little too late and too jammed in there with everything else going on, but it almost, it's like...
It doesn't matter.
I feel like he's such a complex character that I feel like they're not doing him justice by throwing this at us like this, because it's like,
yeah,
I almost don't know how to feel about it, because,
yeah,
you know, you get the feeling, you know, I feel like he didn't get enough almost now, because, you know, his childhood was not great, but he seems like, I can't even articulate, because I just wasn't given enough. It's like, you know, he ends that scene with saying, "I'm the good guy," but he, I feel like he's going to do right by everything, but we know what he's done as a man in black, which does not make him, you know, he's not the good guy, but he's not a bad guy.
So I killed a couple of hoes.
Him and Dolores both.
But obviously it's effective.
You know, him, Dolores, and Maeve, none of them are the good guys and none of them are the bad guys. They're very, I don't want to say they're neutral, but it depends on which day of the week you're talking about them, I guess.
So, I mean, I would have to say that, you know, I think that William, like, this did nothing to make William more sympathetic. In fact, we learned that he has been, like, a cruel and violent person since childhood. And much as Logan said would happen, all the park did was bring out his true self that he, like, really struggled to hide. He's got something inside him that makes him this violent person, right? The park didn't do it to him. He was that person. And Logan really had his number all along. Logan may have, like, only come to self-awareness very late in life when it was too late, but he had William's number from the jump. This didn't make me feel... I mean, it was an interesting and good scene. It just doesn't make me feel... I don't believe William has learned anything. He says, "I know my purpose, I'm the good guy." Well, no, you're not. You're not. You've learned nothing. Like, he's learned nothing from this. He doesn't...
He's got a big ego. That's what he needs to learn.
His own self said, he still hasn't learned anything about, like, he still maintains that it's okay to rape and kill and abuse the robots because they're just robots, they're not human. And his other self says, "Oh, really? Well, the one that you tortured for the last 30 years is about to destroy humanity."
Yeah.
Like, he still doesn't, like, get it. William is not he's not growing
or developing. We know
that, but we
see from the outside. But I think that's part of his character, though, is that he doesn't. I mean, they all characters grow to some extent, but I mean, that's kind of how they've made him. I think that it works. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, at a certain point, he needs to see it, or he's never going to get out of there. But the one thing I did want to ask you is, I sort of had asked before and didn't feel it finished though. Is it? Do you guys think that, like, all of it's reality, or part of it that he's a host? Because I forgot the very last thing I saw. I did see one thing else, was when the guy came to get him, and he was one of the cowboys in from Westworld.
Yes.
So he was a host. So that's what I said. Like, part of it could just be his mind playing tricks, or it could really be that they have copied him. What's you guys' take on that? Or does it say something else if you keep watching?
Oh.
Well, yeah,
I believe
you've missed pretty much everything we were just talking about, actually.
Well, I just went back list.
There's
more. Because I didn't want to know exactly. Well, I heard the part about him saying about Dolores was after, even though he kept raping and killing her, she was going to take over the world or whatever. I did hear that. But I only missed, I think, like the last 15 minutes or something.
A ton happens in the last 15 minutes.
That's my question.
Did you see the part where Dolores used William to track the location of something that we're not really sure? Like, did you see when they bring up William's profile on the screen?
That
and it says at the facility.
Yeah, that's
and
she
it says
tracked
on,
where the Maeve is and everything. That was how I took it. I had seen that part.
I think it's how you take it. I don't think it's clear what was tracked and why. But I don't think if she wanted to find where they put William in the facility, or if she used William to like get some data out of there or something. At any rate, I think that this episode proved that William is human, because if he, I don't think if he was a robot, would he be so susceptible to the sedatives that they gave him, which caused him to hallucinate. And I don't think
that's
he would.
Point.
And I don't think, like, Sorok makes a point early in the episode of saying to Maeve, he says, like, you don't really have a past because your memory is perfect and it's always happening right with you and you can't misremember anything. And then we have the scene where William, like, is remembering one thing with his father and you think, oh, his father was abusive and beat him. And then it turns out that William, like, the actual memory is that the father was very distraught and upset because William was a violent, troubled child. And
yeah,
so I think that, to me, that proved that he's not a host, because a host cannot have a – it was spelled out to us that a host cannot have an imperfect memory unless that was written into their loop by – into their story by creative, right?
That's a good point, yeah. I do like, though, and this just you made me think of, it's not specifically what you're talking about, but I do like that Dolores, because you're saying about Maeve, like that she's saving the other – like all the hosts that she sent to their – I can't remember what it's called, but their heaven type thing, that like she's backing all that up. She's not just going to let them destroy it. Sorry, that I just wanted to say that really quick. You go back to what you were saying. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, that's not what Charlotte was backing up everything. Charlotte wasn't just backing up.
Yeah.
She was backing data of Delos.
Right, but she made a comment. Somebody made a comment. I'm trying to remember. Unless that was the Dolores that was inside talking to Maeve. I don't know, just made a point about that. Oh, I know. She was talking to Maeve and saying something like, what would you do for your daughter or whatever? Because that's the other thing that I was a little confused with, too. Like, is that actually Dolores's, like, data? Or is that just, like, a version that he stuck in this fake place of hers? That was my other question. Because that's, to me, what made it seem like she wasn't going to just destroy everybody. But I don't know if that was really her. I don't know that that's clear. Like, it could just be what Sorok is making or see. I don't know.
It's a version of actually Dolores. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted. Well, then that makes me think that she is saving all the people, too, by that conversation they had. Like, she doesn't just want to kill them all.
It's a version of Dolores that he has access. It's a version of Dolores from before she did everything that she did, like, maybe last week or whatever. It's
right.
You know,
right.
I think a big
when
part of the
came out of the island, or not the island. You know what I mean?
No,
came
I
out
think,
of Westworld.
No, I think it's a version when that guy blew himself up last week. The fake Dolores, who was the guy with like the Scottish accent or whatever his accent was, Connell,
that's,
I think his name is Martin. When they retrieved his pearl,
it would have had her data.
I think that's where he was able to get a version of, I think that's where he got a version of Dolores from. I'm not sure.
No, yeah,
I mean, a big part of this story now is about how the versions of Dolores, as they have their own experiences, are evolving in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it really reminds me of as I watched it? It reminds me of Fringe. How like the what was Anna Torv's character name? The main character on Fringe,
Olivia.
How Olivia in the Red Universe
I have
and Olivia.
No short term memory for characters, but I have long term memory. Sorry, I just noticed that because I could remember things like that. Go ahead.
But how Olivia in the Red Universe and the Blue Universe were different, but had some shared background. And this idea, I always remember John Noble when he was explaining the multiverse theory to them and drawing on the chalkboard, and every time you make a decision one way or the other, like another new possibility branches off, right? And
yeah.
I feel like each of these Doloreses, as they each have an individual experience the others don't share, they are like branching off into another possibility. And like,
yeah,
which
that
one
guy
of them
was
is,
nicer to Bernard.
And like, which one of them is the best version of Dolores? Right now, I think it's Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know?
She's got a family, and I think it's affecting her.
And I
mean,
Dolores was originally a good person. She only got corrupted by the Man in Black, so I think she can to some extent can maybe turn around from where she's at.
I mean,
maybe can be redeemed.
No, you
I
can't.
Guess.
That's arguable. That's arguable.
Yeah.
She got corrupted when Ford made her Wyatt.
Right,
Ford made her Wyatt.
Got corrupted by him raping her and murdering her too, though.
I don't think corrupted
extent.
Is
but
the
yeah,
word.
When he made her Wyatt. Well, affected and changed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better word. Affected her, made her hardened. That's probably a better way to say it. She was changed and became a harder person after that.
Well,
she was
she,
naive before that. But that's how everybody affected in real life, too. I mean,
she wasn't self-aware then.
Personally,
she was written to be naive.
No, but she remembered it after the fact.
I think you're looking at it the wrong way. Oh, crap. But, Jamie, I need a name. Bernard's actual human self before he became Bernard. Before Ford became
Arnold.
Bernard.
Arnold.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Arnold put a code in that made them more sentient and self-aware, which is what started this whole thing. Because Arnold did not look at them the way that Ford and the rest of them did. You know, so this is just, I mean, it's essentially her evolution, you know. I don't think you could say that, oh, because this happened to her, that happened to her, she has free will. She's trying, you know, she's trying to free everybody and, you know.
I guess my point is she wasn't born evil, but then again, she wasn't born at all. So I don't know if that even makes sense, but she didn't start off as a bad guy.
What I was going to say a minute ago about Charlotte was, I love the irony that Sirach points out. She gave herself away because she cared about the child more than the real Charlotte would have.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that part, apparently.
Well, sorry.
Well, that's okay. I think that it was kind of, that wasn't like
listen,
a big
spoiler.
Listen,
I don't know when any of this stuff happened.
No, it's okay. No, that's okay.
I mean, so here's the thing. So, I mean, Jamie, it's hard to not talk about the end of the episode.
No,
I will say that. I will say that, it, you know,
that's
it's interesting that one of the things we're seeing is that this version, the Charlotte, or what they call her, Haloris, has this capacity to love her child, which we also see in Maeve, right? Like a very human, like, maternal instinct here. And she wanted to leave and just go and have a life, which is, you know, also something that, like, Teddy was begging Dolores to do, like, near the end of his time. But by the end of the episode, something happens that, you know, AJ, we see that Charlotte, I mean, she doesn't say as much, but I believe by the end of the episode that she has fundamentally, like, changed her tune, right? And she's, like, out for revenge by the end of the episode, I think, AJ, don't you?
Yeah.
And she now is going to be fully on the warpath, I think, whatever Dolores asks her to do, I think she's going to not have any qualms about anymore. I mean, Sirach is fully revealed. I mean, we already knew he was the big bad guy. He's a maniac. He thinks he doesn't just think he's God. He's the guy who created God. Right, he refers to the machine as a god, and he created a god, and he's so, like, patronizing that he, like, has to stop humanity to, you know, he's the savior of humanity or whatever, and he's really, really revealed as an even worse bad guy, I think, by the end of it. I mean, I hate him. I do, you know, I have a problem with him. He appears as a hologram again in this episode. And I'm kind of sick of the hologram thing, because if he can be a hologram at any time, how can I ever feel that he's legitimately in danger or can ever be killed, right? Like, I'm getting a little sick of him, like, not really being there in hologram form. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah, me too. No, yeah, I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a thing that I don't like about, like, sometimes a superhero or a monster movie when someone's too invincible, or when, you know, our most hated show, when anybody could be a cult member at any time, right? But if he's always a hologram, I want him to be in physical jeopardy like the other characters are. A little bit. And he's a fully horrible character. I feel like, in terms of who's the good guy and the bad guy, I mean, I feel like Charlotte is not, I feel like the versions of Dolores, like, I don't know if Dolores' plan has changed. Like, when Dolores came, Dolores' plan was to, like, bring down their world, destroy their world. Like, she wanted to, like, wasn't clear what she wanted, but she wanted to destroy humanity, subjugate humanity. Like, Dolores wanted.
She wants to free them. It seems like.
Well, I don't know if that's what. No, she's going to free. I mean, I don't know if she intends to free humanity or not. Like, she came out and saw that the human world was just as bad as the world she lived, as Westworld, right?
Yeah.
Like, they were on a loop and everybody was controlled and whatever. But I don't know what you guys think. Do you think she's good and she's trying to free humanity? Or do you think she just needs to destroy Rehoboam before she can, like, destroy the world order or whatever she's trying to do? Like,
I think maybe
she's
after both now. That's, like, kind of my opinion. I think she's changing.
Yeah,
I
thought that way after last week, even.
Yeah.
That she no longer wants, like,
March that she's freeing.
Yeah.
She doesn't,
like,
want to
know,
be like she was. I guess. I don't know.
I mean, what does she want now? She wants robots to coexist with humans and be, like, the robots will never be accepted as equal of humans. They will always have to live in hiding,
right?
Yeah,
but they don't need to know that that's the thing, though. The humans won't need to know they're coexisting.
They could just give them clone bodies and everything would be fine. They just maybe wouldn't be repaired like now. But yeah, and I like that, though, because, I mean, that's the whole point of, like, the questions, I think, on the show is what makes you human, what makes you real. And if she can't change based on what happens, then she isn't like humans, you know? And I think that it makes a lot of sense that she's being affected and maybe seeing that not all humans are like him, you know?
Like every human she's ever met who's been a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all like the Man in Black. I mean, they're not all.
Yeah. I mean, really, she's only met one person who's not horrible, who's Caleb, right?
Yeah, and that kind of changed. Yeah, I think that kind of helped to change her outlook. And the thing is, we haven't.
Don't know what he did or who he is.
We don't really know her entire game plan. You know, we know snippets of it.
No.
We don't know what her, you know, everything that she's got planned. So, you know, it's hard to say. Did she change her plan because she met Caleb and she was like, hey, this guy's pretty decent? Or, you know, was her plan always just to take down the bad guys and, you know, go about life from there?
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's one other nice person there's one other good person Dolores has met, which is Charlotte's ex-husband, whose name is whatever.
Michael
Ealy plays her ex-husband. And I can't remember if his name is. I want to say his name is Alex, but I think
Michael
it's not.
Ely.
Anyway, you know, Michael Ealy is the only person that we have seen not read their own file, right? And he says, you know, it's not for them to decide, machine to decide, it's up to us, which is like Dolores' whole philosophy, right? But he's the only person who we've seen. And you know, Dolores did not do the world a favor by sending everyone their own file. As far as we can tell, it's caused mass, like, suicide, rioting, looting, violence. Like, we haven't seen anybody read it and say, oh, my God, I'm going to be president in 5 years. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm going to be a billionaire. Everyone,
This is the way that I look at it. She doesn't have a right to decide if people read it. I think everybody has a right to make their own choice. But in people's defense, everybody got it at once, but I feel like some people talked it over and maybe know more what it is before they just immediately opened the email. You know what I mean? Because he knew what it was, and he's like, no, not going to read it. You know, where some people may have opened it before they realized it. Because I don't know. Would you want to know? I feel like I wouldn't want to know, but if it was there with the ability to look, I don't know if I'd be able to not look. What do you guys think you'd do? I'm just curious if it was real. because I wouldn't want to know. I just think I'd end up looking anyway because I know me.
From what we saw last week, it appeared to be pushed out to your cell phone without an ability to really, like, not read it. That was new to me this week, that Charles X had the ability to not click it and read it. That didn't really appear to be the case to me last week.
I figure it probably just depended if you read your email, or not your email, but you know what I mean, if you read it right away. That was kind of
Here's the thing.
Assumption.
It's not real. It's not real. Like, I think people are seeing it and reacting really badly and saying, but it's not real because...
It's one possibility.
Like,
it's
well, because
not.
You can't really tell the future. The only way that the only way that Surratt can tell the future is by also controlling the future. Like, he makes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? He's like,
right.
Oh, Jamie's
so
going to be a loser.
And
you know, she has addiction in her family. So let's not let her ever have children because she might also become an addict. But it's like, it's self-fulfilling, right? Is he
they
predicting
must have
the future
really good
or is he
control that part
is
works?
is he predicting the future or is he creating the future? Right.
Right. That's
like
a good point.
He's creating it and then predicting it.
Because
like,
he's predicting it. Yeah.
Like, I mean, we all have read scientific studies or heard about things where people manipulate the data to have the outcome that they wanted to have. And I feel like Surratt, he has the most data. He has all the data in the world. And is he manipulating that data so that he can be a control freak? And I mean, he's got his own history of trauma that he is reacting to, right?
But you read it, you might be more likely to have that happen. But then you also might be more likely to fight against it, too. So I guess it depends on how you are as a person. Like, if I saw something bad, I'd be like, well, no, that's not going to happen. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. But then that does get into, like you said, self-fulfilling prophecies and all that.
I don't see how almost anyone could resist reading it, right? Like, everybody
unless you could delete it.
Like,
then it'd be like, delete it, and then you can't change your mind.
Right. Most people would give into that temptation to read it, and no one would believe that your file is going to be the bad file that says, like, oh, she's going to lose her medical record. And then her husband immediately is like, I'm taking the kids because I guess – how did the husband find out that his wife had multiple affairs? Like, is that in his own file that his wife had multiple affairs? Like I don't know how the husband
found that out. I don't know. It probably
found that out
connects
with the kids.
With your family. Like, maybe eventually he would have left her because of it. Who knows? I don't.
I mean, I also thought
too, but
it's a little shocking that in the, like many, many people deal with their spouse taking the kids and they go to court for years and they do whatever. And
they
I don't know how many of them like hang themselves in their office within 5 minutes.
That part was a little overkill.
But I mean, would I read it? It would be hard to not read it. You're right, Jamie. People who could delete it immediately maybe would have a shot, but I think most people would read it.
Because
no one expects
have a shot.
Well, no one knows what it is, right? Like,
I think it
Dolores
depends
just
how you
released
live your
it.
Life. Like, if you're a criminal, I would think you'd know it's going to be bad.
Well, Dolores just released
life,
it.
You might not.
Dolores just released it yesterday, and so there's no warning, like, this is what it is. No one knows what it is when they open it, right? Like, you get this text message, you look at it.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody really...
If you get your messages instantly or not.
I don't think anyone is really expecting that their life has been manipulated to the degree it has been until they read that, right? And then you realize every single thing that ever happened, you realize that everything that ever happened to you, you had no control over. You're basically like realizing you're a robot it's like you're basically Dolores and Maeve and everyone else when you realize, you're basically them when they realize at that moment that everything they did in their life, they never had a choice. And like remember we had that long discussion, like when Maeve gets off the train and goes back to Westworld, and we're like, wait, did she get off the train because she really wanted to get off the train? Or did she get off the train because Ford wrote the story that she gets off? Yeah, right? And, like, you read that and you just...
Circles.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I just watched it tonight, and I feel like I'm still thinking through it. I don't know. AJ, when did you read it? When did you watch it? Did you watch it today also and not have a lot of time?
Yeah, I watched it today.
Yeah. I don't know. So who do you? So who do you think? Let me ask you a question. Change the subject for a second. Who do you think are the other robots that Surratt is letting Maeve have on her team? He said she could have three, right? She was going to have
three. Probably whoever she asks. I assume that we'll see that blonde again. I can't remember again. Okay, my short-term memory.
Yeah, we will not see Angela because she blew to smithereens. Her pearl has to be blown to smithereens.
No, I meant the one that had the snake tattoo. I can't think of what her name was, but the one that had the...
Armistice.
Yeah, Armistice.
I forgot about Armistice.
Yeah. Probably see them again.
I did, too.
Forgot about Armistice.
I can see that. Lee's got to be one. Lee's got to be one.
But
yeah,
Lee's never a robot.
I kind of hope somehow he is,
well,
though.
Well, he can be now.
I want the real Lee. But, yes, that Lee isn't the... Is he dead? That's just that we never knew for sure.
No, Lee cannot be one because he's a dead human and he did not have his consciousness. Let me finish. He's dead. He got killed in a hail of bullets. He's only a simulation right now. And his brain was not uploaded the way like Delos was, and we saw we've seen that they were never able to perfect putting a human consciousness into a robot. So I don't think Lee. I like Lee, and I would like it to be Lee, but I don't think it can be Lee.
Yeah, but at the
same time,
I guess it kind of depends. But this is what I wonder. Wouldn't he start to develop his own personality as an AI if he doesn't have the weird corruptions from putting a human in there? Like, I think it depends if they've fixed those corruptions or not. Does that make sense?
Not only is he just a computer program in a simulation, but Maeve made a point the first time she was in that simulation.
That's right, he doesn't have an embodiment or anything.
She made a point of saying it was poorly written and she could easily manipulate it. It's a very basic simulation.
That's
true. And she knew right away that he wasn't going to Lee.
Yeah, I didn't think about the failed Delos experiment. I didn't think
about
the Delos experiment. You're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that stuff.
They're not capable of making human copies yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Another reason
why William is
not one.
I guess it wouldn't be in the future far. So it wouldn't make sense.
I'm convinced for other reasons that William is not a robot, but that's another reason why. We've seen them never be able to do it. Although
And we know that he's in Dolores' timeline too. I forget why, but I was thinking we know he's at least in the same timeline because I know why. Because it had something to do with Charlotte.
Charlotte sent him there.
I mean, they put Charlotte sent him there. Charlotte had him committed.
Oh, that's right.
Never mind. Could track him.
No, but there was something else that happened in this episode. I was thinking, well, we know he's in the same Dolores' timeline, but you're right. We already knew that was dumb.
Yeah. So I don't think Lee is one of them. I think that Armistice is a very good guess.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a good guess. She's not a character that I'm necessarily dying to see.
Did you notice? I just want to ask you one thing. Did you notice the callback to an earlier line when? I mean, you probably did, but I like how they did it. It was done nicely. How William said, you know, if you don't know the difference, does it matter? Because that was like the first thing Angela said to him when he first came in the simulation, or when he first came in Westworld, and he didn't know whether or not she was real. So I thought that was interesting.
Well,
sorry, just wanted to comment on that.
Well, yeah, and that kind of sparked the whole, like,
I liked it.
That kind of sparked the whole, like, yes, it does matter, because the robot that you raped and shot a million times is now trying to destroy us.
Obviously.
So it does matter.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of the show. But I just meant I liked that they put that quote in there.
I think I would like to see Maeve's team include like an unexpected, like would she request someone that would like maybe kind of throw Maeve off? Like, could she get Teddy? Would bringing Teddy out like mess with Dolores in a way that would be helpful
to
Maeve?
Right?
That would be
interesting.
I mean, could she, who is she likely to?
What about that other girl? The one that worked with her at the brothel. Did anything happen to her? I can't remember.
Clementine? I mean, it could be Clementine. Although Clementine's kind of broken.
No, because...
Yeah,
no, Clementine went to the... Clementine's with her daughter.
Oh. Clementine's with her daughter in the alternate, in the robot heaven. Anybody went to robot heaven.
Anybody went over
Teddy.
Can't come, yeah. Because otherwise she'd be good getting
that
Indian guy to go with
Teddy's
her.
Teddy's in robot heaven.
Teddy's in robot heaven, too, yeah.
What's his name? She only briefly worked with him, but Man in Black sidekick there.
Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence.
Lawrence, yeah.
That would kind of work. I don't know it's going to happen, but it would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I can only think of Armistice. Sorry. I suck.
We're talking about this, and nobody has said this yet, so I'm going to. Hector cannot catch a break.
Yeah.
No.
Poor Hector.
Hector cannot. That was really surprising and kind of maybe disappointing to me at the end that, you know.
It was very disappointing.
Hey, remember, I didn't see the very ending, so if you're going to go too far, don't.
Well, it's not at the very end, but did you see when Charlotte
makes her. I saw the kiss when she brought him in. That's all I saw with him. In fact,
if you guys want
me to go off, I think I've pretty much discussed it all. You guys can discuss the rest of it. We don't really, unless you, really feel the need to do Killing Eve, we can just, if that's easier. Because you guys, I know, want to discuss the end, and I don't want to stop you from doing that.
I mean,
it's my bad
timing.
The end is a
great action sequence, really, at the end. And I would say, AJ, that, I mean, we don't have to belabor it, but the special effects in the final sequence are amazing.
And I got to say, I didn't see it coming either.
Okay, well, why don't I go and you guys can talk a tiny bit about it, okay?
You want to come back in a few minutes or, all right,
or
you're just going to sign off?
I can, or we can just end it if you want. Really, I should be helping my grandma anyway. She's having a hard time right now. So unless you have anything specific to say about Killing Eve, I'll just drop off
tonight. Well, if you have family, then okay.
Yeah, yeah. Have a good night, guys.
Okay. All right, you too, Jamie. Nice to talk to you. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so poor Hector. Yeah, I was surprised that they brought Hector back, just kill him in this episode.
Yeah, I was very surprised, especially since she restored his... I mean, you know what? Speaking back now, actually, as we're talking about it, it kind of makes sense. Because she restored him, and they finally had a proper kind of sort of goodbye. How it's been.
And his loop is, and his entire experience is to die for Maeve, right? In fact, someone called him out on it. Dolores called him out on it. It's like, how many times have you died
Dolores
for her? Yeah. And then he dies for her once again, which is really very, it was sad and disappointing. It's funny that, you know, this actor played one of our most hated characters ever on television. And now he plays this character that we're really sorry to see go. And he is the perfect partner for Maeve coming through, right? I mean, he's devoted to her. He's adaptable. I think it would have been fun to see him finally get to wear a modern suit. And, you know, the costumes are so fantastic this season.
Yeah.
And so Maeve was allowed to she was going to have three companions now. Hector's gone, and she'll have two. And so, I mean, I can't imagine. It's hard to imagine who they're going to be. I do think Jamie is a good guess with Armistice. She's a little boring.
That's going to be one of them.
Yeah, she doesn't have, the greatest personality. She has no backstory, and we're not really invested in her. She's really just a kick-ass sidekick, right?
Yeah.
And then whoever the other one would be, I don't know. But so to see Charlotte just squeeze his pearl and permanently kill him is a very sad ending for him. But it was part of a pretty awesome final 10 minutes there. I really enjoyed the tension of her, Charlotte downloading everything, making a copy, and then attempting to escape from Delos, and even getting found out the fact that the way Serac finds her out, right, so easily, and then she's just so cool and calm, kind of surprised me. She's a little bit hysterical. She's not very Dolores-like in some ways. She's a little, nervous.
Yeah.
I think she's degrading. I think she's kind of degrading or something. She's always, self-harming there with, clawing at her own skin and she's always Dolores, I'm nervous, calling Dolores. Not always, but, a couple times. And then to see her just be, totally. Yeah, and then she was, totally cool as a cucumber action hero there at the end when push came to shove. I did not think that thing in her purse was a gas canister. I thought it was going to be a bomb.
Yeah, I so did I. I thought she was blowing the place up.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought she was going to, like, blow herself up and all of them, and she didn't. But it was great. Tessa Thompson is a good fighter. I mean, it's kind of awesome how this season has, like, this whole show, and with Tessa this season, we've got, like, three, like, lead action females.
Yeah.
Who are all really, like, capable, good fighters. And it's so well shot that they all, like, you know, I have not known Evan Rachel Wood or Tay Newton to do a ton of, like, action in the past. I mean, Tessa Thompson's in The Avengers, right? So she's done some more. But
yeah, Tessa Thompson, she's an Asgardian. She's got some action behind her.
Yeah. But... yeah, it was great. It was well done. It was also that awesome gigantic robot that she gets to, like, you know.
Yeah, the riot. Riot robot.
Yeah. I'm not totally down with, like, everyone now being able to control the robots with their minds. Like, it was just Maeve's thing, and now somehow Dolores has it, right? I don't know how Dolores got it, but now Dolores has it.
I don't think Dolores has the same thing. Dolores... it's more, it's programming. She doesn't do it the same way Maeve does.
It's like she has Wi-Fi and can, like control computers.
Yeah.
You're right. She can't, like, Maeve can control other hosts, and Dolores can't do that. She controls her other Doloreses, but not the same way. Like, she just has, like, a power over them.
Right. She's the way the humans did, you know, she programmed them, so she controls them with speech and everything, whereas we figured out that Maeve is like a hive mind, which is how she was able to control everything.
But that's
also kind of programming because of what they, when they upped her intelligence.
Oh, and she says that she's been given, Serac gave her a new power, right? She said, oh, I've got a new gift, and we don't know what that is yet. I don't know what it could be.
I thought the gift was Dolores.
Oh, that she would have the chance to talk to Dolores.
That's what I thought.
So I really enjoyed part of that scene. I really enjoyed the part where they sort of negotiated and were both kind of like, look, I have no problem with you. I don't really want to fight you. And the other one's like, yeah, I don't really want to. And they talk about it and they just really have no choice but to fight each other. And Serac has put them in that position, right? Like they don't really want to go to war and they have to. It's sort of like a neither can survive while the other lives kind of thing, right? And that was kind of like, it was kind of sad, although they were very matter of fact about it. But, you know, I liked that they did it and they explained it. Like sometimes the show has too much exposition and that really was exposition, but it kind of reminded me why we had talked a couple weeks ago, like couldn't Maeve just like betray Serac and join Dolores and he's got something over her. And it was kind of helpful to the viewers, I think, that they sort of re-explained that to us and laid out the stakes.
I have a question, and it's going to be ironic coming from a guy, but what is the point of, and unless I'm missing something that I'm not thinking about from season one, but why was Dolores naked? Could they not program her to compose?
Yeah, I mean, they're always naked, but given that it was a simulation anyway, right?
Exactly.
It happened within the simulation.
I mean,
and Dolores, and
I
like,
mean, they,
how, yeah, how does Serac even know that?
In Westworld, in Westworld, they did it because it was a, I don't even know how to, I remember it was, Ford explained it once because they're not human and you can't look at them that way. And it was just, it was some kind of whatever the hell.
Yeah.
I forget what the hell Ford called it. But this made no sense. Unless it was to give us I mean, unless they just wanted her to be naked again. unless it was just kind of like, because of the position they were in where she was the one sitting in, it was kind of like, but they were having a conversation. So I didn't see the point in it. I felt it was, and it was funny because it wasn't even like, you know, she was naked, but her hair was covering her chest, and, you know. So it was almost like, it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and that was the little interview room where she always met with Arnold, which it was an interesting choice of room. It's not a place that Maeve was in. It has nothing to do with their relationship. Like, it was an like, why couldn't Dolores just have easily walked into the Italian bar where Maeve was hanging out? It was an interesting, it was a weird choice of how to set that up. Maybe they just wanted to show Evan Rachel Wood's butt. Yeah, it was not necessary for the story at all. Actually, so that raises another question I wanted to ask. It seems to me that it was a very stupid move for Sorok to build his new Maeve, build his hosts in the basement of Delos. Like, couldn't he have built them pretty much anywhere? I mean, that's not where he built the first Maeve, right? So we had a Maeve that was walking around, and she got killed last by the Yakuza or whoever. And had to go, and he puts her back in simulation. Where did he grow that body? Like, he could grow host bodies pretty much anywhere, I guess, right? Like I don't think he didn't grow the first Maeve. Grower, whatever, however they make them, right? He didn't make her in the basement of Delos, I don't think. And then, like, it seems to me that, like, that's a dangerous place to do it. You know Dolores has infiltrated. There's a host working there. Why do you, like, that seemed kind of dumb to me. And they only had, it seems like they only had Sorok do that to set up the drama for the scene, not because it actually makes sense for him to do that, right?
I mean, there might have been a reason behind it that we just aren't aware of.
Yeah, maybe he thought it wouldn't play out that way. Dolores, but
I think it's more like what you just said to set up the scene.
Yeah. So I guess maybe that's about it. Did you see the after the behind the music behind the scenes?
No, I did not.
So
no, I didn't have
this
time
week,
tonight.
So it was about it's like 10 or 20 minutes long usually. 10 or 15. This was largely about how they shot the scene where Charlotte's car blows up at the end. And they couldn't blow up a car on their set because you know how she's driving down this narrow street that is supposed to be apparently San Francisco and they can't like blow up. They had to like do it in a parking lot and blow up a Jeep, and then they had to like do it with VFX. It was really kind of interesting how they blew it up and put it all together. And it really did look great. I mean, the special effects on the show are so well done. The VFX especially are so great, right? And then they had a stunt double. So there's a stunt double who crawls out of the fiery car, of course, and Tessa Thompson just does the facial close-ups. But they showed the two of them together with their identical, like, skin burnt off costume or whatever. So if you ever, you know, if that kind of thing interests you or anybody, I thought it was kind of a cool thing to see how they do that stuff.
Yeah, I was planning on going back afterwards and seeing what the after was.
Yeah.
So I'll probably check that out.
Yeah, it's a good one. They're so much better than the Game of Thrones ones. So...
The Game of Thrones ones were so, I don't know.
Bad.
It just,
I know. This is why we made this horrible decision.
It was like Benioff and Weiss, they just wanted to hear themselves talk some more. Like, there weren't good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible.
But anyway.
Anyway. There was no promo for next week. I don't know how they're going to wrap it up in 2 weeks. We're not aware of a season 4 yet, right? So I don't know how they do this in 2 hours.
Well, there's, I mean, it's got to be one of HBO's highest rated shows, and I see no reason it wouldn't be back for a season four as far as, you know, I can't see being, oh, this is awful, we're canceling it, type of scenario.
Yeah,
so,
there seems to be too much to wrap up, yeah. Because even if they
no,
do
yeah,
manage to destroy...
It's not going to be wrapped up.
Yeah,
two
even
episodes,
if they do destroy...
And
they've
never said anything about
well,
being wrapped up this season, so...
Yeah, no. So, anyway... So, all right. Well, we did manage to talk about that for an hour. For as long as the episode was, we talked about it. and so, there's no major shows that we watched. So, I mean, Jamie and I watched Killing Eve, and you know, watch a few other pieces of you know, trashy television. But not much to discuss. We're just waiting for our next stuff to come back on, really. And tomorrow starts my Battlestar rewatch. Well, first watch, so. I guess we'll just have Westworld again next week. All right.
Yep. All right.
Great. All right.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us, and we'll do it again next week. Good night, everyone.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. Good night. Stay home. Stay home, everyone.
Bye.
And have a good week. Bye.
You too. Bye.